you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. Brother Chris, will you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord God in heaven, thank you for the blessings and the mercy you've shown us this very day, Lord. That you will, Lord, lead Brother Brad and bring the message you have us here, Lord, strengthen us where we're weak, hold us in your arms. Lord, you know the request has been made here today, Lord. Be your will. Consider each one, Lord, and let thy will, not our will, be done.
Thank you.
Watch over us, Lord, as we go on through today. Guide, guard, direct, strengthen us where we're weak. Bless and have mercy on each one, Lord. Bless and have mercy on your will. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. John chapter 13. Oh, this morning, I have to say this because you're going to thank me, Brother Brad, is just going back over the Sunday school lesson. I probably don't study my Sunday school lesson like you do because I don't pick it up on Monday. I don't go through the daily Bible readings like you're supposed to. What I do is I like to get subtle with what God would have me to preach and know that I've got God's messages together. And then Saturday night, Sunday morning, I like to open up the Sunday school lesson and study. And whenever I open it, I said, my goodness, I'm going to just go back over what's been taught in Sunday school. But God knows about that. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. He knows how much of it we need. And so you pray for me I could get his message across this morning. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now, whenever we read this, there's a question about love here. And Jesus is given a commandment of love. And Peter wants to say, well, I love you like that. I love you the way you love me. Jesus has said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die for you. Peter said, well, I would die for you. And so I love you the same way that you love me. I'll follow you anywhere. I will follow you even to death. I believe this, Brother Mike. I believe Peter did love him. And yet, whenever you think about love, there's a lot of different definitions of love. And Peter felt like that he loved the same way that Jesus did, but he soon to find out he didn't. I believe under the right circumstances, Peter loved Christ. I believe under the right circumstances, Peter would have died for him. And I believe that's evident whenever the soldiers came into Gethsemane to take Jesus away. Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the servant of the high priest, cut his ear off, and very easily could have got killed right there. And I believe he understood that this is our moment, and I am ready to prove to Christ I will die for him, so I'm ready to fight. So that's why I say under the right circumstances. What were the circumstances? In that case, Peter would have received the glory. In that case, Peter would have been fighting and become a martyr, and he would have received glory for that. And Jesus wanted him to know that the way I love you is self-sacrificial. It's not about me. It's not about glory. It's about the Father. It's about the Father. Peter, you know, to die for him, I'm about to die with honor. And that honor, that's the way I want to go. But now whenever Christ was led to the slaughter, when he laid down his life without a fight, Peter said, I can't do that. I can't go that route. And so he began to deny him. And he denied him three times. And whenever the rooster crows, Jesus looked at him. Now there's a lot of symbolism in that, Brother Freddie, but Jesus looked at him at that exact moment as to say, I told you so. And Peter saw that. Peter saw himself. And when he saw himself in the Lord's eyes, he knew he didn't love him the way Christ loved him. And he went out and he wept bitterly. So what I want to preach this morning is, as I have loved you. That's very important. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Not just love someone, not just love the way you have come to define love, but you love someone, you love others the way that I love you. Now, you know, I'm to love you the way Jesus loves you. I'm to love you with a sacrificial love the way He sacrificed Himself for me. You know, I think about my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love Cajun food. All three of those are different loves. They're not the same. I don't love my wife the way I love Cajun food. I don't love my kids in the same exact way I love my wife. There's a difference there. That's not saying I love one less. You know, I love my wife less than I love my kids. I love them differently. And so love is a hard thing to really define whenever we use it so openly. I love my dog. Some people really, they love their dog the same way they love their children. You know, and they even claim them as kids. That's just the world that we live in. You see it that way. But, you know, that should be a different kind of love. And yet we use that word so openly. Oh, I love coming to church. I love the ball game. I love the deer hunt. We use that word so openly. And yet Jesus, He said, I give you a new commandment. You love others the way I love you. So that gives us a pretty good definition of how we're supposed to love someone. You know, this is the guaranteed way that men will know that we are disciples. We live in a very confusing time, Brother Jake, and the world is just so confused, and there's so much out there for people to get into, that there's so many avenues that our kids can go down, that there's so many deceivers that say, come over here, you really don't know the truth, let me show you the truth. And then whenever they begin to study this, someone else comes along and says, well, that's really not the truth. This is the truth, and you need to follow after me. And the world has become a very, very confusing place. And people look at religion and they say, well, is there really a truth out there? Where should I go to church? Should I go to the Baptist? Should I go to the Methodist? Should I go to the Pentecostal? Should I go to the Catholic? You know, what if one of these foreign lands, they're the ones that have the truth? And maybe I need to explore those options and begin to look everywhere. And Jesus says here, He said, this is how men will know that you are true disciples. If the world can see true disciples, if the world can see true Christ-like Christians, then all of a sudden things get a lot less confusing. When it's not just a hypocrite, when it's not, you know, someone is pretending to be religious a little bit, when it's someone that's genuine and true, and so, well, this is the direction we need to go. So Jesus said, if you'll love others the way that I love you, then the world, all men, will know that you are my disciples. Think about how great of a commandment that is. Love everyone else the way that I love you. Let's see, well, how does Jesus love me? And all of a sudden it gets big. Love begins to branch out and it gets a lot bigger than just loving Cajun food. It gets a lot bigger than just loving even a pet. or loving, you know, a ball team. It gets a lot bigger because Jesus, well, He was kind. That eliminates some people's definition of love right there. Just being kind. There are some people that will say, Brother Richard, I love you, but they're not kind. That eliminates you. He was compassionate. There are some people that say, oh, I love you, but you never see an ounce of compassion. There's some that say, you know, I love you, but they'll lie to you. Jesus was straightforward. And in being truthful, he also spoke the truth in love. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and he spoke to them with authority and he said that you are hypocrites, he did that in love. He's very bold. And no doubt it might even hurt their feelings, but he did it with love. Now, we know that Jesus was sacrificial. Jesus was a doer. He didn't just talk about love. He didn't just say, well, I am love. He showed. He must needs go through Samaria. So when lost, he was concerned about them. So he went to them. He was selfless. So I could go on and on this morning with just one thing after another. But look at 1 Corinthians 13, because that defines it for us. First Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. How does Jesus love us? This is how He loves us. This is His definition, no doubt. Whenever Jesus shows a sinner that they're lost, boy, he suffers long with them. Why? Because He loves them. Genuine, true, biblical love. Godly love, self-sacrificial. So anything we do without charity, without that Christ-like love, profits nothing. I could come this morning with a well-put-together sermon and preach it without love, and it means nothing. Means nothing. I could, you know, come along and have good deeds. Go out and do good deeds for others. You say, well, that's a picture of love. But what if in my heart I'm doing it to try to build up my name so that I can get some glory? So that I can come into church and I can brag about it a little bit, or I can mention it and everybody come along, pat me on the back and tell me what a good job I'm doing. And that's my motivation. Some people feed off of that. That, well, you know, people are showing me some attention, so I'm going to do more so that I can get more attention. He said, even doing these good deeds, if you do it, and love is not the motivation, really, it's not going to profit anything. In the end, not going to profit anything. To give your body to be burned, we think about that, that's sacrificial. But whose glory is it for? That matters. Because Peter, I believe, he was ready to sacrifice his own life for the Lord as long as it was by his terms and so that he could get some recognition for it. And Lord said, we're not doing it that way. Not doing it that way. charity, love. Whenever we say charity, I believe we could say Christian love, Christ-like love, and be saying the same thing. And the test, I believe, is to prove whether or not we really love as Jesus loves lies within these few verses right here. It suffers long. Well, am I patient with others? It's kind. You know, there's men that say, I love you, and then give a black eye. Where's the kindness at? Envieth not. Vaunteth not itself, not puffed up. In other words, if I truly love the way Christ does, I'm willing to surrender all pride. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Well, that's a big one. That's a big one. Brother Richard, there's a lot of times I say I love you, and by this, I come up short. I love my wife, and so many times I'm seeking my own. There's so many times I want to put Brad ahead of her. And then say, well, I love you. Well, wait a minute. By this definition, I'm coming up short. All right, it goes on. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth. Believeth, hopeth, endureth all things. He says, charity never faileth, never fails. Again, he said that if you will love the way I love you, that all men will know that you are my disciples. All men will know that there's something different about you. That don't mean all men will come to know Christ. It means all men will know that you're different. All men will know that there's something about you that's different than everything else out there. And that's what our job is, to show people the truth, whether they accept it or not. Charity proves that. So, you know, we say, well, I love my kids. Well, am I seeking my own? I love my wife. You know, well, am I easily provoked? You love your husband. Well, do you think no evil toward him? I love my church. Well, what about envy? Do you envy others because God's blessing them maybe more than you see in your life? I love the sinner. Are you seeking for yourself or for them? Love seeketh not her own. Every attribute of love is to be applied. And, you know, this is something no doubt we grow up into. We add to our faith. Charity's the last one on that chain. You add virtue, and then to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Add that. So we can add it all along as we grow. We add a little here and a little there. Give you some food for thought. You know, Jesus didn't start loving you once you were saved and cleaned up. Brother Freddie mentioned several times about loving the unlovable. That's what Christ did. He loved me. When He loved me, that's what He did. He loved the unlovable. He didn't wait until I had gotten saved and then got cleaned up and started living right before He decided to love me. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. We look out in the world and we see a lot of people that can aggravate us, get under our skin. Boy, they can make us mad, but Jesus loved them anyway. You know, Peter thought he loved the Lord the same way that the Lord loved him. And I believe there come a time whenever he did love the Lord, or truly loved him with a Christ-like love. But Peter thought he did, and Lord, I'll die for you. But when he saw himself through the Lord's eyes, he realized just how short he'd come up. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I ask you this morning, is your love for the Lord, is it selfish what you can get out of Him? Or do you love Him because He's worthy of being loved? Makes all the difference in the world. Do we love Him because He first loved us? And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of being loved. Or are we still just a little selfish toward Him? That's for sure.